Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Les. So since they got into my time, I'll just cut it down to 15 minutes, huh? No? Amen. As Apostle Jim Hodges said, I can be amazing and brief, or brief and amazing. Amen. Wow, it's awesome to be here. Pastor Les, as he said, we met a few months ago, and I'm going to have to do this thing a little higher. You might need to tighten it just a hair. That'll work. Thank you, Pastor. It was so good to make a connection with him and to be able to have a fellowship in the Spirit just immediately. I mean, there was just something that there wasn't a lot of things to break through. You know, there wasn't a lot of things to have to get past. There was just a spirit. And there are things that, in fact, I think we would have a lot more of them if we would just quit looking at the listening to the soulish realm and looking after the flesh, right? Looking after the appearance, and we would just see people. We would see people's heart and spirit, because we should. Because how many thank God we're spirit beings, right? And filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be sensitive to have the eyes of our understanding opened. I love Paul's prayer. I usually say that or speak that over every service or over every people we speak to, that apostolic prayer. In fact, how many will just agree with me? Ephesians 1:17-18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give to every one of you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Christ. So that the eyes of our understanding, or literally the eyes of our heart, will be opened, enlightened, and illuminated, so that we'll know what is the hope of his calling. Do you receive that? It keeps going. Got a lot of great stuff. Keeps going. But how many want to know to the hope that you have in him is a great calling in him. Amen. And we're not all called to be on the platform. We're not all called to be in front of everybody. How many know every one of us have a calling? I love the body activity. We called it back in the old days, body ministry. You know, people minister to one another. It's just an honor to be with you and to be able to be entrusted to share with you for a few moments this morning. If you'll turn to, I was going to go straight to Acts 3:19, but I want you, before we go there, would you go back to that prophet in the back, Ezekiel? In your Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 21, this just keeps coming to me. We can't get into the whole chapter of what it's all about, except Israel is in a serious spiritual condition. Babylon is on every side. There's all kind of things going on. So it kind of reminded me of today. I mean, you know, the church is under a lot of oppression in many places. People do not know who they are. We're coming into a time, as what I love, the vision and the mission here concerning relationship, getting not only to know God, but to know one another. And so God is opening our eyes, but how many know there's a lot of change that's coming? We even sung about it today. There's a change coming because we've never really experienced the depth of his love like I believe we're going to experience now. I believe that we're going to understand the great love that he has for us. It's not just a love, it's a great love. It's a great love that he has, that he is. And his love, though, is not just leaving us, likely bringing us into a place that we'll look more and more like him. How many believe the prayer of John 17 of Jesus is going to be fulfilled, that they may be, all may be one? Amen. And that oneness in Christ will produce then something that we're always striving for, but we can't get it by ourselves. How many know the word unity? Everybody wants to strive for unity, but you can't have unity, especially among the people of God, until you have some oneness with each other, until you have some spirit connection. Unity has to be a byproduct of something. So here's Israel surrounded by that. Here's the word of the Lord that comes. So I hate just to take a couple of verses in a chapter, but I really believe this needed to be spoke out today. And especially with what God is doing here at the Journey, God is taking you on a brand new path. Listen to this. It says, thus says the Lord God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute. The main thing I wanted to emphasize is this part and then some of verse 27. Nothing shall remain the same, Exalt the humble and humble the exalted, or raise up the lowly and then bring down those that are high. And it says, Old King James Word, I'm in the New King James, Old King James Word said overturn. This says overthrown. I will make it overthrown. It shall be what he was talking about. How many know the turban speaks of priesthood and the crown speaks of kings? And he said, now I'm going to change the nature of what's going on. I'm going to take you out of that religious system that you've been worshiping by, or that you've known in the past, that you thought, well, this is really what it's going to be like, or this is what we're getting to. How many know he is changing everything so that he can bring us to a place that we'll know that change in Christ, not just change for the sake of change, but how many know change in Christ is good? In fact, that's what the word repent means. It just simply means to have a change of mind. It simply means you're going one direction, then you're turning and going back another direction. And so there's a lot of things being overturned right now. There's a lot of things being overthrown right now. There's a lot of things that are having to be removed out of the way so that then he can come in and build and plant and do things in us that he is not just getting ready to do, but how many know he is doing it right now? Because when you're on the ground floor, when you're on the building up of something that God is doing, then you're able to you're going to experience all those things that come with building new relationships, getting to establish some things. And although you've been as a church for a while, I think, is it 10 years now? But God is so shifting acceleration and expectation. How many of you know we are accelerating? I was talking about that with someone just the other day. We're accelerating now. And I believe as we get ready to enter the second half of this year, Pastor, that right here at the Journey, there's going to be a great acceleration of the Spirit of God in your midst. There's going to be a great turning because he's overturned some things. He's overturned some things so that he can bring us into a place that we'll be so pliable and so flexible in him that he can go ahead and pour that new wine into, not an old wineskin, but how many believe a new wineskin? He can pour it into because he's reconditioned it. It's really a renewed. The wineskin is really just being made flexible because it's being soaked with the oil and it's being soaked in the presence of God. So he's making it to where that we can step into it without it just throwing. Remember the old days, if just one little change would throw everybody off. You just change even the way you sit in church. It would be, you know. So thank God we are moving into a new day that God is saying, because you've been flexible and because you've been pliable in his hands, he's ready to accelerate now that not just blessings, but the blessing. How many want the blessing on you? Amen. The blessing of God on you. Now go to Acts chapter 3. This has been kind of a region in working with churches. We're working with leaders across two or three states as well, Louisiana, sometime into Arkansas, back in, of course, the Houston region, the area in East Texas. And God is just really doing that same thing. He's overturning a lot of things that need to be shifted. That's a big byword that's come in the body of Christ now in the kingdom, a shift. And we know that shift has got to bring us into something. And it's got to bring us into something that we know now we're not just coming out of something, but we're coming into something. Amen? It's not just enough to come out. That's what much we have taught about church in the past is just coming out of the world. But we need to come on into the kingdom of God. Come on into that place that he can govern us and he can rule in our hearts and lives. Acts 3:19 through 21, Peter's preaching here. After the day of Pentecost, now he's preaching again, and he's saying, repent, therefore, and return, so that your sins may be wiped out or blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ to you, who was preached to you before. Now notice verse 21, whom heaven must receive, or literally retain, until the times of restoration. We'll come back to that. As old King James Word said, restitution. Somebody say, of all things. which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So you see, there's this passage here, and what I would just like to share for a few minutes is that the transition, the shift we've been on, is to bring us into a, to get us through the transition from transition to transformation. Somebody say transformation. Yeah, from transition to transformation so that he can begin to complete and do the things that he wants to do in our lives. So when he says repent and return, he just simply says, come back to a fresh new walk with me. Come back to a fresh new place. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is the first word of the kingdom, in fact. Remember that? John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When the king, when it says the kingdom is at hand, it means it's right in your grasp. It's right here in front of you. And so you have to have a change of mind. I think Pastor was sharing that about strongholds. That's so true, because we know that, if we should have strongholds in Christ. We should have such a stronghold in our mind, in our spirit, that those old strongholds cannot come back. And so for us to repent and return so that he can then bring us into a place in his presence. That word, of course, is the word kairos, which means it's special times, special seasons, opportune times that he comes and he'll come and visit us. But how many of you know he doesn't want to limit us to coming into another visitation? He doesn't want us to stay just, oh, well, we're glad we had a visitation from the Lord. That's been the revival process. That's been what's been going on the last 20, 30 years that we've had, say, moves of God that have brought change. Or they bring some presence of the Lord. They come, it comes and blows in something new. But then many times we don't know how to steward that. We don't know how to continue in that. So we just want God to continue to do it without then stewarding or being entrusted with the process that he wants to complete in us. So we have a saying, Robert and Julie here today, so glad they're here with us today. How many know we have a saying, and we must see this, we must move from visitation to habitation. We must move from just having a visitation of God to a place that we know his presence is here because we're here. He's in you, and he's in me, he's in us. So therefore, when we come together, it doesn't matter what building is. I'm so glad you're in this place. Man, just right downtown Tomball. Amen. Main Street. You're right downtown, and God is doing so much. Not just bring another visitation, but he wants to establish and bring such a solid habitation among us that we walk in that presence, not just when we're gathered on Sunday morning or when we have prayer meetings, but every day we're walking in that and stewarding that and have that habitation of God in the Spirit. How many are beginning to see that that's necessary in your walk? You're seeing that taking place in your life. So that's at Kairos times. And then he said, now, there's another times, but it's like the heavens are holding Jesus. It's like he's not coming. He's going to stay there until, somebody say till. We have in our Father's heart connections and branch of what we do and say. We say there are a lot of things that won't happen until time, till time. Somebody say till time. What does that mean? That means I'm not talking about tilling with a plow. I'm talking about there are some things that just don't come to place or come into focus until. So that's why you don't want to stop. You don't want to give up, because most of us are coming into a new until. We're coming till time so that God can fulfill what he's spoken to you. How many have been holding on to some promises and some things in God? Well, there is a till time. And then there's a till time corporately. And that second times of restoration, where we get chronological time, where we get the time that we're living in right now, Sunday, June the 24th, 2018. God is working on our behalf right now to establish a habitation of God in this city, in this region, in this area, so that there will not be a coming and going, an in and out, but there will be a constant, continual flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the times that we come together. Because the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is made manifest and is advancing through the church. through the ecclesia, the body of Christ is coming into that place now that we're saying, not what we want, but what do you want, God? I heard pastors say that about what Bethel. I mean, you know, if we all would come to that place, Father, it's not what we want to see happen. It's not what we want to do. What do you want to do today? If we came to that place that every time we assemble and then every time in our lives we work like that, Father, I want to be sensitive to your presence because I want to see what you want to do. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not going to do anything I don't see the Father doing. I'm not going to say anything I don't hear the Father saying. So what a great example for us as sons of God to hear what he's saying. So if you take those three things, that's a transition into a God for that. We still are in that time. We still need the times of refreshing. But he's wanting now us to capitalize on that refreshing time and not just say, oh, doesn't this feel great? Oh, didn't we have another great meeting? Aren't these soaking times really, really exciting? Well, it should move past that. It should take us into the place that we see not only a restoration, a doing again of something that God has wanted to do, but it then becomes a reconstitution. We can begin to see a refounding of not only the faith of God, but the strength of God and the government of God in our lives and in our meetings. God is wanting to bring us into that place that we're so spirit-led by his hand and by his government in our lives that we can simply shift at a moment's notice. We can simply shift with him when he says, do this or do that. We can just move right into it because we are shifting into his presence. Or we are, as we transition, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm getting tired of the transition. How many feel like you've been in transition a long time? Yeah. Yeah, that's most of us. That's all of us, really. Well, the transition does have an end to it. He wants to bring us to that place. And it's not just the end of the world or the end of the age. It's the end of a season. There's the trans word from above. He is transforming us. He is transforming us so that he can now form his character, his nature, and his power and his goodness in us like never before. There are many things. That's why Romans 12 talks about, you know, you don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the transformation is to bring us into a place that formation inside of us. That's why when after you've seen people that supposedly been saved, born again for years and years and still seem to be children. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again. And here's another till word, until Christ be formed in you. You've been born, but how many of us have ever fully, or how many even corporately, we're seeing that now in the body of Christ, we're corporately forming. There's a formation coming, and it's coming because of transformation. And that comes because of those steps of transition that get us from repentance, which brings closure to where we have been. How many know that you can't move forward till you get closure? You got to have when he closes one door, what does he do? He opens another. He can do that. He brings us to that place where then you're ready now, and he'll pour out that refreshing time on you. He'll pour out that thing now to get you into a place that, okay, God is speaking and God's moving in my life. But then that's not the end. The end is to go ahead and bring you into a place of restoration, so that he can restore now, and he can restore us spirit, soul, and body. And the formation that's going on is not an outer, it's not an outer formation, it's an inner formation. See, that's what most people miss. It's where we get the word metamorphosis from, what that word means, to have our character changed on the inside, to have a formation of God working on us, his character, the reality of who he is, what he is doing. When we realize that, then you begin to know who you are. You not only begin to know what he's done for you or what you can do, but how many really want to know who you are in him? And who he is in you. When he's working in you, it's God that works in you both to will and to do. Amen. For his good pleasure. So it's His it's for His good pleasure. His intention is for us to flow in these things. He wants us not, excuse me, He doesn't want us to come behind in anything. In fact, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then just one more passage, and I'll be closing. I just wanted to release this to you today. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9. It says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance, in all speaking, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Look at verse 7. So that you come behind in or come short in no gift, no charisma, no operation of a joy, a gracious joy gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation. The word appearing many times is that word revelation. That word, it's to manifest something. It's to unveil. What does it say? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 8 and 9 very carefully. Here's where we're walking through and walking into. Who will also confirm you to the end. To the end of what again? Well, to the end of that transition that's getting us out, that's getting us out of ourselves, that's getting us out of our own ways and what we want to do, like Israel was doing in the Old Testament. What the church can easily fall into is after a while we get into that routine, we get into that thing where we're familiar with everyone, and so we fall into kind of, we can have that freshness keep coming to us. So He said, I'll confirm you to the end, so that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 says, I stand on this one. I love it. God is faithful. Can somebody say that with me? God is faithful. By whom, or literally through whom, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why when we come together, we're not just supposed to come together as a social club. We're not supposed to just come together to carry out a few duties and then, okay, we've done our duty now for the week. Let's go home. No, we're called into the spiritual fellowship, the koinonia, the communication, the sharing, the partnering, the getting transparent, becoming to be able to be, to show ourselves, to be able to say, okay, yes, this is who I am, this is what I was, but now this is what I'm becoming. This is who I am in Him. This is who He's making me to be. He's forming me not from the outside to try to get in. He's forming me from the inside out. He's bringing us now to a place that we sing a chorus like that, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. So it's got to start on the inside. He's got to bring it all the way out so our whole spirit, soul, and body can be preserved blameless until the coming of the appearing or the revelation. Bring you to that place that you not only know who I am and you're not only enriched in everything, in utterance and in knowledge, but even in gifting. You know, today there's a lot of emphasis, or there's been so much emphasis. We all know this. We can see this readily. In fact, Facebook really brings it out. You know, there's so much emphasis on gifting and what people can do, and very little emphasis on character and many times the accountability and the nature of Christ being in it. And so that's why there's that balance coming to us. But that doesn't mean He wants to take gifts away from us. It doesn't mean He wants us not to move in gifting now just because there's a extreme use of it. What's He want us to do? He wants us to bring gifting and character together. He wants to bring us to a wholeness. He wants to bring us into a fullness so that we can stand in Him and not just individually. Many times we make so many things individually. Well, yes, they work. You can pick your scripture. We all have those favorite scriptures, but it's more than that, really. Now, how many of you know the Word of God in the New Testament? He's writing to churches. He's writing to groups of people many times. Paul was writing to spiritual sons. Here's what I want you to do, Timothy and Titus. Well, certainly it is for us as well. But what he wants us to do is start looking at it from a bigger dimension. He wants to start looking at it from a higher perspective because he's struggling over here with something. But corporately, God is bringing us into a place so that there can be a people that will finally be able to come together as one before Him. That's the whole mystery. That's the whole mystery of godliness, is so that God can bring us into that oneness with Him, just like Jesus said in John 14 when He said, "Me and the Father will come." He said, not just I'm going away, sending the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's going to open up the avenue for me and the Father to come and dwell in you. Not just come and visit you, but come and dwell in us. That's the dwelling that He's doing. That's the habitation that He's bringing right now, so that He can bring us into a place that we can then be steadfast and sure. We can know where we're at, and we can see the ground. We can have the right treading to go on forward because we're being established in Him. Now, if I have time for one more passage real quick, is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know there's other churches that meet here today, but let me give you this passage. This was really quickened to me about 3 o'clock. I have a habit of, if I hadn't gone to bed yet, I'll wake up at 3, and God will quicken something to me, as He does on Saturday night a lot of times. But this is Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 8 through. Therefore, this is Paul writing, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner." Remember, Paul called himself a prisoner of the Lord. And he said, "But share with me, be partakers with me of the sufferings for the gospel." How? "According to the power of God." And I want to ask somebody, has anybody gone through something since you've really given yourself to the gospel? Amen? Certainly. This gospel that there's nothing to experience, no process, no pain, no suffering. I'm not talking about being sick all the time in your body. I'm talking about being able to withstand the buffets. Not the buffet. We're okay with the buffet now, because I think Paul said he buffeted his body daily, right? So all right, we took a little liberty with that, but he's wanting us to know. Paul's saying, listen, I'm going through some things, so don't be ashamed about it. Don't be ashamed when you hear me being put in jail over here, or when you've heard I've been cast out of this place. Don't worry about that, because it's according to the power of God. And he says in verse 9, this is a powerful, you could take about each one of these statements, five statements, I believe it is. Look at it. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." Notice, saved and called. If you're saved, you're called. Amen. And it's with a holy calling. That's why he's worked on ministry, just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He's set apart all the saints. Amen. And he's called us to be sons of God. So he said, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." Then look at the second phrase. "Not according to our works." Now here we go. A lot of times we want to get back into work. So we want to get back and earn now. You know, now, oh, he's done this for me. Now I'm going to show him what I can do for him. I mean, no, that's not what it's about. It's not according to our works, but then 3, but according to his, and you got to get this, his own purpose and grace. Stop there for a minute. It's according to his own purpose and grace. Now, we know the grace is there, but this is the only place in Scripture that the word purpose and grace come together like that. Pastor, it says, according to his own purpose and grace. In other words, there is a he is. We know that all things work together for us for the good, to those who are saved and love Him and called according to His what? Purpose. That word is prothesis, or a prosthetic. How many know what a prosthetic is? Something that's been added to you, that's been lost. How many know that sometimes which seems to be lost, God writes our. In fact, if you break it down, it's even deeper than that. It's prothesis. He writes the story of your life, and He fills in the gaps of whatever has been for it. But He gives you purpose. He gives you the what He spoke to before the found. In fact, that's what it goes on to say. Because what He spoke before the foundation of the world in your life, when you were born, it brought you into the reality of this life. But He brought you in so that Christ would be our life. Amen. So look at what then verse, was given us in Christ Jesus, that purpose and grace, before even time began. And then he says this in verse 10, "But has now been revealed by, or manifested by, the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." This is what has already been done. This is that appearing that He's already done. Amen. "Who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Oh, wow. That's very hard for us to even entertain, much less focus on for a moment. He has abolished death already, and then why are people dying? He's brought life. Notice that it said he's brought life and immortality to light. In other words, he's showing us the direction that we're coming into. We're walking into that. We're still in this world, but we're not of it. We still have these bodies, so we're still dealing with things. But we're walking toward a fulfillment of that which he has already done. That which he has already spoken of, said, when Christ, who is our life, appears or revealed, so shall you appear or be revealed with him in glory. In other words, not just up there in glory, but the glory of God manifested in us as he appears corporately in his people. So that's the transition. That's the purpose. That's the grace that we're on. That's where God is taking us today, into a place that we can, as we transition to transformation, you go through these stages. You have to go through these stages. Repentance is not a one-time deal. It's not just something you did when you got saved. But you continue to walk in repentance, change, an atmosphere, an attitude, a climate of what God is doing. And then he brings you into that place where he gives you refreshing times. And then he begins to restore. Now, again, don't just look at that at your own life, but now look at it as something we're a part of this together. This is corporate. This is what God is doing now as he shifts the body of Christ from revival to restoration and then on to a complete. We're not just in another awakening. We're at the throes of another great awakening. We're at the time of a great reformation again. Why? Because God has turned this thing. He's turned it around. He's turned it so he can get us into focus and he can bring us into that many times as we're not seeing clearly. Remember the man that Jesus touched twice that was blind? And what did he see? He saw men walking as trees. He could see a little bit. But then he received the second whole. He was able to see completely. That's what God is doing. It's getting to the place where we can begin to be made whole. That's why I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Pastor, get ready to come. Said that I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're a three-part being. So that's why he's making us complete now. That's why you got to keep walking through the trans from above forming process so that he can restore all things in our lives, and then he can restore it back corporately to his ecclesia, his church. Amen? God bless you. Pastor, come. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Let's give Jim a hand. Why don't you step here for a minute? Can you guys just stand as we close? I'm going to ask Jim to pray a prayer of a blessing over us as a church, as a body, just as people of God.
Father, we thank you today. We just decree over this man of God, his wife, over all the saints of God and the sons of God. We declare, Father, that your face is shining toward them. We declare, Father, that you have called them together. We declare that there is nothing, Lord, that can stop when you're giving them the mandate. So we just bless this man of God in the house of God. We bless everyone. We thank you, Father, that you're opening their eyes. You're opening all our eyes to see. And we declare that every promise, every vision, every purpose come to pass because you have purposed it according to your grace and according to your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. All right. God bless you all. Have a great week.